Please take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, and I'm just going to begin by reading some verses that maybe give a little bit of a flavor of what the Lord is reprimanding here in Isaiah chapter 1. And then we're going to go to the beginning of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. It says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." Let's skip ahead in verse number 10. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." Right, so the Lord here is calling the Israelites, Judah here in Jerusalem, referring to them as Sodom and referring to them as Gomorrah. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats." Go down to verse number 21. "How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers." Verse 23, "Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them." Here we find a sad picture painted of the state of Judah and Jerusalem, of the spiritual depravity that was going on in their nation. Now let's go to verse number 1. It says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem." It says, "In the days of Uzziah, Jotham, not exactly sure how to pronounce it, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." So there's four kings listed here that Isaiah was prophesying during. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Now of the four kings, the worst of those kings was Ahaz. He was a very wicked king. He was one that shut up the doors of the temple. He was one that offered his children. He would burn his children to false gods. It talks about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Let's turn over there. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Second Chronicles 28, verse number 1, beginning there. It says, "Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the sin of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Go later on in the chapter, verse number 22. It says, and in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him, and he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah he made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. So this is one of the kings that Isaiah was prophesying during, was Ahaz. He was a wicked king, as you can see from what we read. But there's three other kings. There was Uzziah and Jotham. Both of these kings were good kings, but they did not wholly follow God. Let's look a little bit at what they did. Notice Jotham in 2 Chronicles 27. And we'll begin, just read the first half of verse 2. And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Verse 6. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. So he was a good king, but he did not do everything that was right in the sight of God. But we find that there were some good things that he did do. Notice 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse number 4. We read about Uzziah. It says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, what's interesting here in 2 Chronicles 26 is that Uzziah was a man that did right to an extent. I believe him and Jotham both didn't take the high places away. Did what was right to an extent before God. But Uzziah, when he was lifted up, he was lifted up in his when he became strong. It says in verse 16. Just follow along as we look at these things. But when, verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And so here Uzziah was lifted up. He comes into the temple. It says, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord. That's 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Now, Hezekiah, we read about him, and we're going to comment maybe a couple things just regarding Hezekiah and, or not Hezekiah, but Uzziah and then his son. But first, let's look at Hezekiah. All right, Hezekiah was a man that led Judah in the ways of God. Notice what it says here. Verse number 2, 29 verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Remember, his father is the one that shut them up. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said to them, "Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense." So we find Hezekiah was one that led in the ways of God. Now, getting back to Isaiah chapter 1 and thinking about verse number 1, there's four there's four different kings that Isaiah prophesied during. And you know, the question is, okay, which king was he giving this prophecy in chapter number 1? Which king was it? Now, I don't know if we can exactly pinpoint it, but we find in the days of Hezekiah, there was a reviving going on of the people of God. We find with Ahaz, there was great wickedness pervading the land. We find in the days of Uzziah and Jotham, there were kings that were doing what was right, but they did not go all the way in following God. Now, what is interesting, in the days of Uzziah, what happened when Uzziah went into the temple? And he had leprosy, but there were priests that did what? Or there were Levites, there were men of God, we could say, that did what? They stood up against him. Here came the king in, he is the ruler of the land, and what do? There was 80 valiant men that stood up. We can at least say there were men of God that stood up and said, "King, don't do this. Get out of the temple." All right, so we find that there were men that stood up for what was right here in the days of Uzziah. Now, in the days of his son, then when we get to the days the king Ahaz, you know, where were the men of God? Ahaz comes and what does he do? He shuts the doors of the temple. And you wonder, you know, where were the people of God when the king came and shut the doors of the temple? You know, when Uzziah came into the temple to offer incense, there were men that did what? They stood up against him. And they said, "No, this isn't going to happen." But we get to the days you have his son, then you have his grandson, who is a wicked king reigning. You know, you wonder, where were the men of God? They just let this happen. You know, the question comes to us, how would we respond? You know, the disciples said we ought to obey God rather than men. Or rather than man. We're supposed to obey God, not men. You know, where would you stand if a proclamation like this took place? Well, there was kind of two different responses. Under one king, the people rose up and said, "Hey, this can't happen." Another king, it happened. And it took a what? It took a godly leader to stand up and say, "Hey, don't be negligent. You guys, you have a job to do that God has chosen you for." Under Hezekiah, and the people came back to serving God. So getting back to our question, we looked at some of the verses here that God is calling them out. But what's interesting here is one thing you can see is that they still were offering what? They still were offering to the Lord. All right, it says, verse 12, "When ye come to appear before me." Verse number 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? So here in this chapter, the people of God are still offering things before God. In the days of Ahaz, what were they doing? They were offering things to idols. Balaam was being worshipped. And one thing you don't really find in this chapter, I don't believe, I mean, maybe if you look closer, maybe you could find it, but you don't find God reprimanding them for idolatry. But you do find God calling them out for what? For their hypocrisy. They are worshiping God, but they're not what? They're not living for God. They're on the outside showing like, I'm doing what's right, but it actually wasn't what? Wasn't taking place on the inside. There was a false worship going on, and God wasn't interested in this worship. And so, if this took place, it probably is either under Uzziah or under his son Jotham. At first reading this, you'd think, well, look at all the wickedness going on. This must be the days of Ahaz. But notice how disgusted God was with his people in what they were doing in their hypocritical worship. You know, think of Revelation chapter 3. We heard the message on New Year's Eve. Lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And here God is disgusted in Isaiah chapter 1 with his people. Yeah, there was some outward conformity. Oh yeah, they may have been going to the temple. They may have been offering these sacrifices. But their lives were not backing up the worship that they were offering to God. If we go back to 2 Chronicles, I purposely didn't read part of a verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Notice what it says here. 2 Chronicles 27 in verse number 2. Here we have Jotham, and he was following God to an extent. We find he had prepared his ways, it says in verse 6, before the Lord his God. But notice what it says here in verse 2. It says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Notice the last phrase here. And the people did yet corruptly. So Jotham followed God to an extent, but he never what? He never got the people to lead them into doing what was right. He followed God to an extent, but he did not get the people to follow God. You know, what will a real leader seek to do? Well, Hezekiah steps in and he what? He makes reform. Things are going to change. We're going to lead things in a certain direction. But here in the days of Jotham, he followed God to an extent, but you know what? The people, their heart was not truly in the ways of God. You know, in the days of Ahaz, one thing I'd like to point out is that he had secular thinking. What did Ahaz think? You know, God sent the army of Syria against him. All right, so and notice what he says. Because the gods of the kings of Assyria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. He had secular thinking, pragmatic thinking. Well, this is what works, so this is what I'm going to do. Well, what's the problem with just going on the basis of this is what works mentality? Because we don't know what's behind making what's working happening. He didn't realize that who was it that allowed the Syrians to defeat him? Well, it was God. But from a purely physical standpoint, what did it look like? It looked like the Syrian gods are helping them. And that's why it's so important that we live by God's word. Because The outward circumstances can't be interpreted by purely physical means. If we do that, if we interpret circumstances by what it looks or by what it appears, we're going to be wrong. Unless it's following the dictates of God's word. Now, Hezekiah, he must have known God's word because he saw what was happening. And what did he say? He said, for lo, he says, wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. He recognized that the people, he says, for our fathers have, verse 6, have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. So Hezekiah was living by the word of God. He understood the problems of the land were because the people had forsaken God. But you know, we can very easily be brought into maybe this pragmatic type thinking or just looking at circumstances from the outside rather than basing what we're going to do upon God's word. And so Ahaz took made merely a secular approach to life while Hezekiah took a biblical approach to life. So we find here in Isaiah chapter 1 that the people were still living corruptly before God. And the outside, it appeared that they were doing right, but on the inside, there was something that was deeply missing from their lives. Notice verse number 2. It says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. This give ear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, right? The bursting forth of a heart filled with amazement at a wonderful and unusual event. Here's this deep emotion that is being expressed here. And what is the deep emotion that is being expressed here all about? Notice what God says. He says, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. I have nourished and brought up children. God had nourished them. He had fed them. He had took care of them. He had brought them up. He had raised them up. He had raised Israel to a high level. He had worked in their lives. If we go over to Hosea chapter 11. You know, it shows the sinfulness of man. That man can receive so much love, but yet they can reject it. It says in verse number 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him. Notice verse number 3, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. You know, God did so much for Israel, yet they rejected him. Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse number 5 says, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Well, what iniquity did they find in God? Nothing. But yet they what? They departed from him. And you know, tonight we need to honestly ask ourselves the question. What have we not found in God that we go after other things? That we find our satisfaction in other things? That we live a lukewarm life? That instead of following God, instead of taking up our cross and following Christ, we live for something else? And here's this great expression of deep emotion. Calling out for the heavens, calling out for the earth to hear. And God says, I have nourished these children, I have brought them up, and yet they have rebelled against me. And notice how, if we could say dumb, or how stupid, or how it makes no sense it is. It says in verse 3, it says, the ox knoweth his owner. You know, an animal, an ox, knows his owner. It says, and the ass his master's crib. You know, that donkey knows where he's going to be fed. He knows who supports him. He knows the place that he know that he's going to get nourishment from. So even animals know who supports them. Even animals know who they need to go to get food. You know, it reminds me of when we would go to my grandma and grandpa's house for, I think maybe it was Christmas dinner or something. And there was, you know, my uncle had a little dog. Well, if I remember correctly, that little dog would normally be by grandpa, wouldn't he? Because grandpa would what? Feed him scraps from the table. I don't know if he was really supposed to do that. but, you know, animals, they know who to go to. But yet, many times, it shows the depth of our depravity. It shows the depth of our inability to think clearly when we do not go to God for what we need. When we don't realize that everything that we have is from Him. You know, you think of it, it's like a little child, a baby, you know, rebelling against his parents. When everything of that baby is what? Completely dependent upon his parents. You know, but that's what we do. We put God off. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to live life my way. I don't need to spend time in God's Word. I don't need to, you know, go out there and be a soul winner. You know, I can do things my way. I've got other things that interest me. And we're going down a different trail that leads us away from the very one that has given us everything that we need, everything, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And you know what? In a sense, the Bible is saying it puts our intelligence, when we do something like that, it puts our intelligence below that of an animal. You know how we need tonight to see how foolish we are to not allow God to be the Lord of our life. You know, we can make it look on the outside to others. Oh, like we're coming to church, we're giving our offering. Maybe we're even singing the songs. We're doing different sacrifices. But is God the one that is ruling and reigning within us? God wants our hearts. God wants our affections. God wants us to be satisfied with Him. Because He is the only one that can truly satisfy the needs that we have. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us to learn, Lord, from these examples of Scripture. Lord, how easy it is for us to get lukewarm. Lord, how easy it is for us to become independent and to forget, Lord, that we are completely dependent upon You, that without You we're nothing. Lord, may You awaken us from our lukewarmness, Lord, may you help us to realize that everything good in life comes from you. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts this evening. And Lord, that we would be a part of the remnant that is wholeheartedly living for you and following you. Lord, that was the most important part of the nation of Israel, was that remnant that was following you. That was the part that was protecting them from being destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And Lord, may we recognize, Lord, for those that are living faithfully, Lord, may they be encouraged to go forward. And Lord, tonight, may we see the ridiculousness of living a life apart from you. Lord, may the Spirit of God show those areas that need to be changed tonight. And may we change them. And Lord, may you reign and rule in our hearts tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.